It's time to light up a cigar and talk about business and cars. Are you ready to get the insider edge and pick up a few ideas that you can incorporate into your business today? Your host, Brandon Green, has 25 plus years in the automotive industry, with 10 plus years owning his own business. Together with a diverse lineup of guests from all industries, he's asking the right questions to get you the answers you seek.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of Business Cars and Cigars. Of course, if you've been around for a minute, I am your host, Brandon Green, and you're stuck with my ass for a little bit. That being said, want to take care of the little stuff at the beginning. Be sure and check out one of our sponsors, Vita Nova Cigars. They are some awesome cigars, and they will be launching very soon. It's been a little bit of a progression, but they're coming out very soon. We're going to be doing a launch party soon, and they are killing it. Oliver's, I'm so excited because these are absolutely fabulous cigars. So anybody can get one too, and you want one. If you're into cigars, that's your thing. And of course, you know, the car out of shop here in St. Louis, we got to promote our own shit. So, but we're here. And if you like the shows, please like, share, leave us a 5-star review. You know, we appreciate it and everything. Let everybody know. And that being said, that's done. I like to get through that shit quickly because, quite frankly, I hate the advertisement stuff, but I do want to make sure that we take care of the guys that take care of us. So today I have one of my good friends, good buddy of mine, 2014 Trusted Tech of the Year, multi-time top 12 installer, just a 12-volt badass dude all around. Fucking love this guy. Mr. Chris Ott is here to hang out with us today, man. How you doing, brother?
Dude, awesome, man. Thank you so much for having me, man. It's awesome.
Oh, I am stoked to have you on here. Thank you for taking the time and doing it.
Same here. I'm stoked.
I get a whole lot of different listeners from different genres stuff. Of course, we don't just have 12-volt guys that listen to this. Why don't you give everybody a little bit of background of, you know, kind of who you are, kind of how you came up and everything, and, you know, what you're doing now and everything kind of in between, all the fun stuff.
Yeah, sure. It's kind of a long story, so I don't know how deep you want to go
in. That's all right. Hey, we got time.
All right. So, you know, I'm a 12-volt guy. I think I've been in maybe about 27 years now. So my story started with the big boxes, just like a lot of other guys. I started my career at Best Buy, actually. I got in on the sales floor. I was a 12-volt salesperson to start out with. And I did that for probably about a year or so. The entire time I was trying to get back into the Bay, I really wanted to be a tech, be an installer. They just kept giving me excuses why I couldn't get back into the Bay. So one of the other guys that I worked with, another sales guy, decided to make a move over to Circuit City so he could be a tech, kind of the same boat that I was in. So he went over there and he kind of got me the in over at Circuit City. I interviewed and they gave me the job. I had a long career at Circuit City. I actually spent about 13 years there. So this was, I think, about 05, 06 to 2008 when they went bankrupt and they went under. So I stayed till the very end with them. I guess one of the key things with them is, you know, being a big box, that they had a lot of kind of structure in place, a lot of rules, and that was really beneficial.
SOPs, standard operating procedures. They had stuff set up corporately, which is good things to have. Yeah.
Very good. And I think that that's something that stuck with me throughout my career. So, you know, I was fortunate that I was able to start my career with that kind of structure in place. I know other guys kind of started their career at more of the mom and pops, and they're a little looser in structure. So I think having that structure from the start kind of set the tone for me throughout my career. So I was fortunate with them. I had a great career with them. I worked my way up the ranks. Towards the end, I was an install manager at a shop for about 8 years. During the course of my time there, they had me on like a board build team. So I would build all the new stores, put all the displays up and the switching networks. You know, they would use me to travel and go to different stores. If they had an underperforming store, they would have me kind of come in and help kind of get them back up to pace on things. So it was a it was a unique opportunity just to do different things other than just being a technician and working on cars.
That's awesome.
So that kind of, you know, that kind of just gave me a little bit of background. And then later on in my career, I kind of revisited that. So I stayed at Circuit Tool 2008-ish. During the course of my time at Circuit, I always loved the fabrication side of the industry. Looking back then, you know, we didn't really have social media. We didn't have the internet. So right. It was mainly magazines and car shows. And that's where I saw a lot of it. And that's what really drew me into it. I spent the beginning of my career, the majority of my career in South Florida. And the show scene was pretty big down there. And I followed a couple of shops down here. You know, JL has a special place in my heart because I was there from the Speaker Warehouse days, buying product from them, you know, before the whole JL thing blew up. So I got to see the whole, you know, progression of them grow as a company and get as big as they were. So that was kind of cool. But yeah, so I would go to these car shows and the bug hit me on that. And I always wanted to do the fabrication side. I always thought it was so cool. So I had a guy that I ended up becoming good friends with that worked at Circuit with me. And over the course of time, we ended up getting a shop together. We got a warehouse together. And then at that place, we would get little projects and we would just practice our fabrication. So a lot of it for me in the early days was trial and error. I would read the magazines. I would read the how-tos. I would go to a show. I would see a car and I would try to mimic it and try to learn how to do these processes. And over time, it's just, you know, refining these processes and finding better ways to do things. While I was the big box guy, I was also trying to be the custom guy at the same time. So I kind of had a pretty well-rounded, you know, background that I was building up. So after Circuit went down in 2008, I decided I wanted to kind of focus more on pursuing like the higher end boutique style shops, kind of get away from the big box. Sure. So we went after that. So for a couple of years, I worked for a couple of different higher end shops in South Florida market. Funny story, one of the shops that I went to interview at, I had injured my leg. I went on the interview with crutches and they actually gave me the job still. I didn't start right away. I started a couple of weeks later, but they let me work with them. And then I was actually working with a knee brace on and such. But, you know, I was.
Well, that's good. Which shop was that?
You know, that's what it was. I was determined. I was motivated. And, you know, I didn't let that stuff stop me. I just kept going and kept pushing and trying to get towards what I wanted to accomplish with things. So, I got to experience a couple of different environments, you know, the higher end boutique style, mom and pop style environment.
Right.
And then I had a kind of a unique opportunity. I guess unique would be the key word there, but,
yeah, I know briefly, what you mean.
So I briefly ended up working for Will Castro down in Miami, at Unique South. And, it was kind of a funny story. I went to a dub show in Miami and they had a booth there and, you know, the long lines, everybody's talking to everybody. Will had this long line of people. So Manny was standing off to the side. So I went up and talked to Manny. I'm like, hey, is there any chance you guys might be looking for somebody, whatever? Just a shot in the dark kind of thing, you know?
Right.
And it's funny, you know, you drop a seed sometimes and you don't think it's going to go anywhere. And then, it, you know, it comes to fruition later on down the road. So,
oh, absolutely. You know, yes.
To drop the seeds when you can. So, so that's what I did. And then, a couple months later, I was actually in Atlanta. I was, spending some time with Scott Hawala at Hybrid. And, I got a phone call on his weird, like, oh, who is this? And it was Will. And he asked me to come work. I'm like, yep, I'm down. I'm going. So, it was a unique opportunity. It was kind of my first brush with the whole reality TV thing. I was the behind the scenes. I never made it on camera, but it was interesting to be in those environments and to see how that kind of played out, you know? but it was a really cool opportunity because I worked with Manny Mad Dog, the guys in the industry that know this guy,
yep.
and Sage Weir too. So it was really cool getting to work in an environment with some really talented guys and kind of help elevate my skill set. And, you know, there were some cool projects. They were doing a lot of like ballplayer cars at the time. So it was a lot of celebrity builds. So it was cool just to kind of get in the door there and get my hands on, you know, some of the cooler, you know, celebrity type builds and that kind of stuff. I spent a few months there. I wasn't there for too long. I ended up getting another job at a small shop in Boca Raton. It was a really small shop. It was like a two-bay shop, and they primarily did tints. That was the majority of their business. So the shop itself always had to stay clean and sanitized because of the tint work.
Right.
So here I am wanting to be Mr. Dusty and making all this dust and fabricate. And, you know, that environment wasn't really, you know, the right environment to do that kind of work. So I actually had a pop-up tent. I would pull a pop-up tent outside. I had a small little table saw, and I built a small little rickety table with a router in it. And yep. I did all my custom work outside under a pop-up tent for a few years. So I kind of been through many different environments. I've been through, you know, that type of environment to the real high-end, real nice, you know, like doctor's office type of environment. So I've been fortunate to experience all those different types of environments. So anyway, I was there for a while. The cool thing was we had a deal with a big Lexus dealership, JM Lexus, which is down in South Florida. And at the time, one of their managers wanted to try to do an aftermarket division within that company. So it was kind of an interesting deal, but they subbed out all the audio projects to me. So I was building a lot of Lexus vehicles. So it was really cool. I got to do a lot of custom work on a bunch of Lexuses. And it really helped me get some time to really kind of work on cool stuff and kind of develop my skills. So I did that for a while. And then at one point, my wife was interested in going to vet tech school. She wanted to become a vet tech. So yep. She started looking online and trying to find like different markets. What's a good school to go to? And so she looked in Tampa, and I'm like, well, you know, I know. And I was back, you know, the 12-volt insider days were big back then. So, you know, I reached out to some of the shops that I saw on there, and actually one of the shops decided to recruit me up there. So we ended up moving up there to the Tampa market. I agreed on, you know, a salary that I was going to get paid and everything in the terms of it. Everything's cool. We move up there. I don't know exactly how long into it. It was fairly shortly, maybe a couple weeks, if a couple months, maybe into it. They decided to completely just change all the terms of my agreement. And they switched me from a salary position to a straight commission position. So once they did that, I paid very close attention to labor tickets and time frames and things like that. That's kind of what grabbed me into really paying attention to that on the business side of things. And it just in my experiences, I noticed some things with the way the jobs were sold. Sometimes there were jobs that were undersold, or they would cut deals on it and they would cut some labor to get the job in the door. So I started realizing these trends, you know, in the industry, a lot of guys, you know, if they say that they moved a guy from salary to commission, immediately a lot of shop owners think, well, the guy wasn't making the money. And that's why they moved him to commission. Well, no. That could really be true. But there's two sides of the coin here too. And a lot of times they don't look at the other side of the coin, which is sometimes there are obstacles in the way of the technician being efficient at doing his job.
So, absolutely. 100%. I've done all sorts of different structures of that, and I agree with you 100%, man.
Yeah. So, you know, it's just that just kind of started getting my brain going and thinking about those types of things. So I did that commission thing for a while, and I busted my ass, and I just wasn't able to make anywhere near the money that I was promised. And so I decided to make a move, and I went to another shop. And that's kind of, once I went to this shop, it was kind of more in the, that's kind of where I started getting a little more notoriety. And I think one of the big things that played into that notoriety was the iPad mini. So when that first came out, the sales manager, Rob, and I, we kind of made a little plan that we were going to come up with the first install of an iPad mini, and we were going to make a video and put it out there on the internet, try to get some
sales. And you nailed it, but yes, please finish the story. Yeah.
So Rob found a dummy iPad mini to scale version somewhere overseas, like in China or Japan. I don't know where he got it, but he ordered one in. So we had the dummy version of it before they released the real iPad mini. And I spent the couple of days before it got released building a dash kit for one of our clients. So before the iPad was even released, I had this dash kit built and made and the audio system done in the car. And we were literally just waiting to get the iPad and slide it in the dash. So our client went to Best Buy the night before, slept there in line overnight. He was like the first guy in line, runs in, grabs the iPad, runs back to the shop. We slide it in the dash, power it up, boom, take a video. And we got really lucky because it went viral. I mean, it was all over the place.
It blew up. Oh, yeah, it was.
That was kind of my first real brush of kind of social media, you know, popularity. So it was an interesting thing. It was really cool because I had clients that were wanting to send cars to me, and I had clients drive down from like New Jersey and all over the place for me to do iPads in their cars. And then I actually had some clients that were calling me from different countries wanting to fly me over to do their installs. So that was kind of a really cool situation to experience. But around that time was kind of me kind of pushing on the awards thing too. And I think that kind of played a big part in supporting me in the awards process was just the exposure that I had to other people in the industry.
Right.
You know, before that, there were some guys that knew me and some guys that didn't, but I think that really kind of helped kind of put me out there a lot more. So I think that played a big part in kind of pushing me out there. And that was like right around 2013, 2014. 2014 is when I won the Trusted Tech Award. So I did that. I did that for a while. I, at one point, I decided I wanted to make a move. I actually did a little bit of traveling. And I would go and I would travel to different shops and I would do some trial runs. Some of the shops were basically to do a trial run and see if it was a good fit, see if it was a good opportunity.
Yeah.
I was kind of a firm believer of spending time in the environment. I think the more time you can spend in that environment, the better it is for both sides.
Absolutely.
To really get to see who you are as a person and as a tech and see if you fit into their team and vice versa. You get to see how they operate and, you know, because, you know, the reality is there's kind of a honeymoon period, you know. You go into a shop and everything's hunky-dory for a while, and then you start seeing the real deal with things. So
there's always a little something that you don't get at the front end, for sure.
Yeah. Yeah, so, you know, it's kind of that's kind of been my thing is I like to spend some time in the environment before I commit to that environment.
Absolutely.
So I did that for a little while. I ended up working for another shop briefly in Tampa. And then this is also kind of around the height of the awards within a year or so. So I had a little more opportunities present themselves. So I had a lot of opportunities to go work at shops to be an installer or a fabricator. But I also had an opportunity pop up to be an install manager for a shop that was a two-store chain in Charleston, South Carolina. So the thing about that was it was kind of outside my comfort zone, but you know, I managed a team before at Circuit. At the height of it, I had 10 guys working under me. So I had some you know, kind of leadership experience. But the big thing that grabbed me was having an opportunity to do more and to grow more than just like myself and my identity in the industry. I wanted to grow the shop, the business, something bigger than just me.
Right.
So that's what kind of drove me to go to there. So I went and I took that opportunity. I relocated to Charleston and I worked there for a good period of time, probably close to 5 years. In that course of time, it was a great experience for me. I had a lot of freedoms in certain areas, but over the course of time, there were some restrictions too.
Right.
There were some things that I felt I was really had my hands tied on. So it was kind of a balance. There was some good and some bad, and but it was overall was a great opportunity to kind of. I was an in-sale manager. I kind of oversaw the back end of the business, but the shop didn't really have a lot of structure when I got there, and I was able to implement a lot of things. And these are things, you know, all these things that we talk about and we teach people at Knowledge Fest. We've actually done classes together, so we've actually – everything we have done classes on is stuff that I actually implemented in our business. So it was a working – provable, you know, model that these things actually work when you implement them. So I was fortunate to see that, and it really motivated me to see the progress and to see the growth in the company. You know, so that really interests me in doing more of a managerial and kind of a mentor thing with other techs. Pretty much kind of reorganized the whole shop. We had two locations. I spent most of my time in one location. There was a lot to accomplish, and I started building some of my my client base there. I spent my time there, but basically, it was the business was kind of built on more of the typical, you know, in and out. I use the term turn and burn. I don't mean any offense by it, but that's just kind of the term that I like to use is turn and burn.
Sure,
just
sure, absolutely, yeah.
Normal in and out type of jobs. So that
not the projects,
right?
Yeah.
So I came in and here I am, and I'm wanting to grow, you know, the higher end side of the business, you know, higher end audio or fabrication type stuff, so we could actually do things. So yeah, I did that. I built the wood room out, trained the guys on router usage so that we can do things like making speaker adapters, amp plates, things like that. So it was simple things that we added to the business that really made a big impact in our success. And I was starting to build my own kind of client base up, more of the higher end stuff. I had a couple big sound cue competitors that I had built some cars for. So I was kind of juggling. I was building these bigger long-term projects and juggling and doing management and also overseeing the installs and doing the quality checks and helping out on the sales floor and all that kind of stuff. So one of the things was in that market, there wasn't really anyone that was really doing like DSP or active systems, things of that nature. Yeah. So I feel like I had a real competitive advantage going into that market. And that's something that I pushed. So the majority of the systems that I did personally were active systems with DSP. It's something that I personally believe heavily in. And I've been using DSP for, God, over 15 years now. I used to compete and I had DSP back then 15 something years ago. So that's something that was very comfortable to me. And I wanted to implement that into the business because I see that as a very important need moving forward in our industry. That's something that every tech really needs to be somewhat knowledgeable on to be able to implement properly.
Oh, but, absolutely. I mean, that's where this is going.
Yeah. So, you know, I did that for a while and it was good. And, you know, honestly, it was a good paying job. There was a lot of positives, but there were certain things that made the environment turn kind of toxic. And towards the end of it, it started to really affect me. And I would become, I was coming into work every day with more of a negative mood, and I would come home and, you know, yep. be negative with the wife. And so I started realizing these types of behaviors, and I tried to do something about it. You know, the whole saying, you know, you can't change the people around you, but you can change the people you're around. That's kind of something that's stuck in my head for a while now is I realized there were certain things that I tried to remedy that would require effort from both sides. And I didn't necessarily see it that way. So yeah. I was limited on, you know, what I could accomplish myself, but I had to really kind of step back and reevaluate myself and really think about the way I'm approaching things. And if there's a way I could do it differently, if there's a way I could do it better or more effective. Everybody's got different ways that you can communicate with people better. So I'm going to find different approaches to that. So I tried different approaches. They didn't work out the way I wanted them to. There were certain things that I felt, you know, gaslighting is kind of a popular term now, but I kind of felt like I went through some of that.
If you hear the term how, and I see this a lot in some of the business classes, different things I do, you hear the term of how you can only control how you show up.
Yep.
You know, what you're doing, how you show up, how somebody else comes and think you cannot control. I don't care if it's a wife, a kid, a, you know, a business partner, a business associate, or, you know, a boss, or it doesn't matter. The only thing you can control is how you show up, which is exactly what you're talking about here.
So, yep. So, you know, I learned that. It took me a while to kind of learn that. And I tried to work on myself. So I actually sought out a therapist to try to help me with some things. You know, I had some personal things going on, some marriage issues and some other things besides mm-hmm. the professional. And they all kind of tie together. Honestly, a lot of guys that have been in 12 for a while, they know the same struggle as this work-life balance deal, you know, trying to make your home life happy and your professional life happy.
Work-life balance is a fucking joke.
Yeah, it's
not possible. Anybody who ever tells you it is, they're trying to sell you something. Fuck that. You got to do what's best for, sometimes you got to focus on one particular thing and do it. And then you got to focus on the wife, for example, you know, or excuse me, or the kids or whatever, you know, I mean, it's just the way it works. Oh shit. I should let you talk again. Apparently I'm coughing. but yeah, man, you just got to do what is the best and right thing at that particular time, because there's no way it's going to ever balance out. And sorry, that triggers things with me, but yeah, I think everybody talks about this balance bullshit, and you know what? There is no such thing as fucking balance, but anyway, I'll let you continue. I apologize, brother, but yeah.
No, it's all good, dude. Definitely. All good, man. Yeah. And like you said, dude, I've always struggled with it. I haven't found that balance over many, many years, you know? So,
yep. You know, well, it's not there. I mean, it's just not, I don't mean to get off on something else and get off on your story, but you see a lot of things, a lot of people trying to sell programs or this or that or whatever about, hey, you can get balance this way, or, hey, you can, no, you can't. Not if you want to do something. I mean, let's face it. Let's look at everything Chris Oz fucking accomplished, dude. I mean, what were you doing when you were accomplishing that? It sure as fuck wasn't balanced.
Yeah, no, it wasn't. When I, you know, it's funny because I think about this a lot too, is like when I first met my wife, I've been married for like 12 years now. I've been with her for 17 years. So 17 years ago, I was working all the time. I worked a circuit and I had my shop. I literally worked 7 days a week. I worked all the time. Mm-hmm. And she walked into that type of environment. So it was, you know, I needed to try to show her value to me. She's very important to me. So I needed to change some things I was doing to show her the importance of her. So I started scaling back on that. And I started trying to make more of a conscious effort to get into more of a a scheduled work environment, you know, more
right.
of the standard-ish, you know, 12 volts not standard. And, you know, there's always those times here and there you got to put a little extra in. And I always did that. I grew up with a strong work ethic. Thank you to my dad. He kind of instilled that in me. And to this day, I still feel that way. And that's been the struggle because as a single guy, it was easy to work all the time. And I, you know,
oh, yeah.
But then I got married and then, you know, I'm sure, you have kids and everything too. I don't have kids. I have fur babies. That's my kids. But
right. Right.
You know, that's the challenge is trying to kind of make everything mesh and work together, you know? Yeah. So I ended up leaving that shop because of the environment. I just felt like I was constantly trying to achieve things that other people weren't really on board with.
Right.
And just, you know, my personal values and my vision and my goals for what I was trying to accomplish weren't really aligned with me. So, you know, that's another thing I learned was trying to align myself with people that had that like-minded kind of vision of where we're trying to go. If you're working with people that aren't on that same alignment with you, it makes it so much more difficult to accomplish things. So, you know, nothing negative to them. I'm very appreciative of the opportunity, but it was just, they wanted different things than I wanted. And it just, in the long term, it just didn't work, you know? So I decided to make a move. I left that environment. I did a trial run in another shop. That environment didn't really work out for me either. So after that, I didn't really have a backup plan. This is kind of where everything kind of crashed down on me, the whole law of averages thing. Everything yeah. kind of started with me at once. So that job didn't work out. I was hoping it would, and it didn't. So the job thing fell apart. I had no job. You know, my dog died on me, which, you know, I'm a big animal person. That hit me hard.
Yeah, I know. That one was tough. I remember talking with you about that.
Yeah, it was, you know, for me, like, my wife and I couldn't have children. We have pets. So they're kind of our children, you know, so it was mm-hmm. tough. So, you know, dealt with that. So I had that loss, I had job loss, I had personal loss. And then I actually suffered an injury. I tore my meniscus and I couldn't walk for a while. So I was physically injured. So I couldn't work. You know, I was kind of just, I had to rehab it. I was bedridden for a while. It took weeks to rehab and took a couple months to get back on my feet, but that kind of gave me a lot of time to really think about things. I went through the little, you know, sulking period for a while, and then I had to pull myself out of it. So I basically just kind of pushed myself out of it, rehabbed myself, got back to where I could walk again and slowly get to the point where I could work again. And then I started implementing like exercises. So for me, I'm not like a gym rat or anything like that. I just, gym's yep. not really my thing. So I got into bike riding. So I got a bike and I started riding every morning, and I would do like 5 miles every morning. And, you know, I noticed the difference that would make. If I start out in the morning, do that, it would just kind of set the tone for the rest of the day.
Yeah.
And it would just get me going. So that was, that's one thing that I learned and kind of picked up from other people, watching other people, you know, the circle people that you surround yourself with and other guys. I kind of watch them and see what they preach and try to pick up some useful info from that. So that's one thing that I kind of picked up was kind of the mind, body, soul thing. And
absolutely.
And it was very helpful. It really helped me kind of pull myself out of this depression that I was in. I think that's kind of another thing that a lot of people don't really talk about. I don't know if it's taboo or what it is, but a lot of people don't really want to talk about the depression side of things.
Absolutely, man.
It hit me hard. I know there's other guys out there because I've spoken to a few, and you know,
I have talked to.
Not saying who they are, but I know that there are other people.
I'll flat out say I'm one of them. You know what? Yeah. I'm dealing with it myself. So yeah, it's tough, but
yeah. So, you know, everybody's got their own thing. And like, for me, kind of one of the challenges that I saw was I had some difficulties the last place that I worked, and I had some people that decided to kind of get involved in my business that didn't really need to be, and yep. kind of make comments and kind of make things a little tougher for me to continue to grow and to try to maintain my living in, mm-hmm. in the 12 volt world. So, you know, I'm not going to call anybody out on that, you know, but, it's kind of that I would like to call out the behavior of that. You know what I mean? Like, it's not cool when people do that to you and you're kind of at a low point and you kind of really see how people are when you're at the low and people are kind of, you know, 12 volt is a small community. It's really hard to keep secrets in 12 volt too.
Yeah.
So, you know, a lot of these things were getting back to me and it's funny because some of these people were people that I don't really interact with. And there were people saying things that weren't necessarily positive that I've never even worked with. So they just decided to kind of jump into, you know, a situation where they could affect my opportunities and they weren't really in a position to say anything, you know? So that's kind of why I've kind of taken the approach that I'm in where I'm real low key with things. I barely post anything on social media. If I do, it's usually not work related. I've been fortunate. I've built relationships with quite a few people that have given me some great opportunities. So I feel great about that. But you know, I just prefer to be low key and just do myself and work on myself and just not get involved with the politics side of the industry, you know? So that's kind of where I've been. That's kind of leads me up to current state is I've been traveling and working and doing gigs and kind of been doing a lot more fabrication related stuff, bigger fabrication projects and that kind of thing. You know, I'm still at a point where I would love to find a good opportunity, but I found it hard to find something that kind of checked all the boxes off.
Oh yeah.
And admittedly, there are some things that are difficult. For me, the things that I'm looking for, it's difficult to find. But I went through a lot in making my decision to leave that shop in South Carolina. Since that point, I went through a lot of things, a lot of ups and downs, and I didn't want to just throw myself back into a similar environment. So that's why I've been kind of taking my time and being real, real picky about who I work with and where I'm trying to go and where my future lies in the industry.
And I think that's fucking fabulous, dude. I really do, because I mean, there's a whole lot of toxic environments in this industry. It's really tough to, I mean, let's face it. We've talked about several of them and I have on other shows and everything else. And God knows I've worked in them and everybody else has.
Yep.
You know, it's just, you know, you mentioned, I told you before we started this, I was going to sit here and take notes. I literally have like two or three freaking little sticky notes that I've already like, goddamn, we could probably sit here and talk all night. This could be like an eight hour episode.
Let's do a three parter. Let's break the
record. We can do it. I'm down. I am down, man. Best we've ever done is two. So let's fucking do it.
Yeah. So like, honestly, for me, I try to be, I've had to learn to kind of reel in on certain things and I try to focus on being positive. I believe in, you know, putting positive energy out that it gets returned back to you. So
absolutely.
Do something on the internet. I try to do it in a positive fashion. So like for me, I'd like to address some of these kind of taboo things, but doing it, try to do it in a positive fashion that's helpful to the industry. And it's not just bashing, you know what I mean?
And it's not just, and it's also not just this industry. I mean, this happens everywhere. I mean, there's a lot of things that happen. I know people in construction or people in, God, I don't know, whatever, you know, there's always that side of a an industry, I guess would be the best way to put it, but something that is always a struggle, something that pushes people back down when they're just trying to, what you were just saying about some of that. I have a little saying I heard years ago, and quite frankly, I fucking love it. And I'm not very good always about living about it, but you know what? Life's simple. Don't be an asshole.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what I go with. It's like, you know what? Everybody can make it as complicated as they want to be. Fine. That's cool. But you know what? Life's simple. Don't be an asshole to other people, because you know what? You don't know what they're going through. You don't know what they got to deal with. And, yeah, absolutely. You know, all we got to do is, if we can help each other out and try to do things. And I am not always the best person at this. I will be the first person to say that. I will do my best, but none of us are perfect. But at the same time, you know what? Don't be a dick. You know, yeah. And yeah, you know, we all have to deal with that. And it really fucking sucks. I'm going to pick one out, because I literally have like notes of everything you've been saying.
Go for it, dude.
Noticing behavior. You said something there about you were noticing the behavior and you needed to change some things.
Mm-hmm.
Can you elaborate a little bit on that one, buddy? Because I think this is huge, because it's really hard for somebody to sit there and reflect on themselves and realize the shit I'm doing is not good for me, or not good for the environment I'm in, or not good for my wife, or, you know, not good for everything. What are some of the things, you know, if it's too personal, please don't go too crazy with this, but you know, I mean, what's some of the things that, you know, you kind of notice that, holy shit, you know what? My dumb ass shouldn't be doing this.
Yeah, that's kind of what I dealt with. So the big thing for me is the way that I reacted to certain situations.
Gotcha. Yep.
There were situations that kind of escalated my anger.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll be honest. I'm not a perfect person. So I made mistakes at that job too. So for me, some of those things are the way that I reacted to certain situations. You know, I would get angry. I might, there were times that I would get mad and I would just walk out of the environment and then come back. Like there were better ways that I could have handled it. I let my emotions kind of get the best of me in that moment. So, you know, I take everything as a learning, you know, it was a learning.
It is. Absolutely.
And, you know, I try to look back on that and try to not repeat any of the bad behaviors that I had done before. Previously. So, you know,
I got to call you out on something real quick.
Go ahead,
quick. I gotta say it, because I've been on one of my guys about this, the word try. I hate that word. I'm sure you see my Facebook post. Yep. We don't try. What we need to do is, hey, you know what? I'm going to do my best to make sure this does not happen. The word try is like, it's a way to not do it. I'm sorry. I don't mean to like jump down your ass. You know, I love you, bro. But yeah, it's, you know, it's like, hey man, I'm not going to do this again. Put that out and you know what? And work on, I can go with the, I'm going to work on this and make this better, which is kind of the definition of try. I'll give people that, but that is one word that I will call people out on, including myself. So sorry, I had to jump on your ass for a minute, but I you know, I love you.
It's all with love. I appreciate that, dude. You know,
if we weren't good friends, I wouldn't do that, but yes.
No, but I'm not above learning, dude. So I can, you know, it's something I've learned over time. I can admit to my mistakes. I can, you know, if there's things I can improve on, and I'll take criticism. It's part of growing. So, you know, I'm all for it, you know?
one thing you just said right there, and this ain't even on my notes or whatever, and you know, how you show up and how you approach things is a huge thing to learn, and something I'm working on myself right now. You know, I've heard this numerous times, but how you show up and how you accept and approach things. And I ain't gonna lie, worked a couple of car radio guys. I never really expected this to go off in this direction for this podcast, but quite frankly, I love it. It's fucking awesome. I'm fucking digging the shit out of this, but yeah, I mean, how a person shows up and how you look at the situation, how you react to it is the only thing you can control. What somebody else does, that's on them. That is what they do. You know what? Fine. How you react to it is freaking awesome, which is exactly what you're just saying. You know, the only thing you can control is I'm doing this probably not the way I should. And you can ask Crystal, you know, I do things a lot that I should not react that way, but we're working on it. Yeah. She's going to listen to this and be like, fuck yeah, you do. But, but yeah, man, I totally agree with that. It's so hard to work on that. It's such an easy concept, but it's not an easy thing to do. Yeah. You know, it's simple, but not easy. I hear that a lot, especially in the business trainings and different shit, you know, the Apex stuff I've done with Tom and different shit. And I'm like, that is so fucking true. I mean, look, a lot of the car stuff we build, you know, we're just doing some of this stuff. It's simple. It's really not that fucking hard to do it, but it doesn't mean it's easy. Yeah. You know, so you got to figure it the fuck out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think a big thing for me that I think sometimes kind of hitting a lower point resets you in a way and kind of humbles you in a certain way. And like I've kind of, after everything I've been through, I try to walk in every situation, just no ego, just try to be as humble and appreciative of everything as possible. And, you know, over time, it's been beneficial to me. I've been moving in a positive direction forward. I'm hoping that there might be some good opportunities that fall into place in the near future.
Yep. So to speak, well, I can't get you to move to someplace cold, so I don't know what to tell you.
I tried it, man. Like, you know, like a lot of people know that I was up working with Milton at Speed of Sound, and
yeah,
he's a super great guy, and I love the shop. I loved him. He's really interested in growing his business. Like, it was a good fit, but it was, you know, old. Literally, like, that's what it was. So that's going back to the points of, you know, I have all these bullet points of the perfect scenario for me. That makes it hard because geographically I'm ruling out, you know, half the country because yeah. I don't want to do the snow. So that basically limits opportunities, you know, for a permanent situation.
Tell you what, you come to St. Louis, I'll make you a deal. I will come plow your driveway.
Okay.
that's the way. All you got to do is drive to work. It's still going to be fucking cold, though.
We might have to figure that out.
Well, I got a truck with a plow. I'll just come up and drop the plow and back up. I'm good.
Nice.
No problem here. Hell, and when I do that, I'll just be like, get in the truck. We're going to work now. Yeah. You don't even got to drive.
I'm down, dude. I would love to come visit your shop someday. I haven't had the opportunity, and I would love to.
You have an open invitation. You know that.
Yeah, I know. Likewise, too, man. And, you know, I just see what you're doing, and, you know, I've seen you grow from one shop to two shops, and now you're doing the podcast. I'm very proud of your success and your progress, man. You know, it's you may not realize it, but it does influence other people, you know, seeing that. So,
well, I greatly appreciate that, man. That means the fucking world to me. It really does. And I mean, I don't really hear a whole lot about whether this podcast does anything for anybody, or, you know, we're trying to build the shops and work on that. And I'm trying to work on learned how to run a business, because quite frankly, I've always been a technician, you know, and, you know, trying to do all that stuff and trying to grow everything and help lead and teach and, you know, everybody around here and learn from them as well. I mean, that, I mean, it, you can't be a leader without being a follower, and you gotta be able to learn stuff as well as teach it. And yeah, it's been an interesting journey, but it's my journey. And quite frankly, I'm kind of loving it. So
yeah,
kind of like you, you know, there's been ups and downs, but it's freaking great because look, I get to play with people toys all day long. We get to play with badass cars. We don't have a shop where it's whatever, you know. I was at a rat rod show all this past weekend. Some people may not be into that, but you know what? I thought it was cool as shit. We had drives and, you know, badass rat rods. Some of the award-winning rat rods on the planet were there, and we're having a great time. So, you know, it's been good. It's been really good. And
that's a good thing, is being like the humbleness part of it is like, dude, we're blessed to do what we do. Like, honestly, how many people are out there working and do what they're really passionate about, you know what I mean? Yeah. So that's something to be really, you know,
grateful.
I'm really thankful for that and appreciative of that I can continue to do that, you know? So that's something that grounds me. I think of that like pretty much every day.
And I agree, man. I mean, let's face it. When you build such a, you know, a badass car and the client comes in smiling ear to ear and everything else, you're like, you know what? This is really cool, because he's appreciative of my work. I put in a lot of time to be able to do this, you know, because let's face it, you don't just do this overnight. I'll fucking say it. It takes a lot of time to learn how to do this shit. But and a lot of money. I mean, a lot of trainings, a lot of, you know, there's a whole, we can get into that in a minute, but yeah, I mean, it's so fucking great to, you know, just do something that somebody is appreciative of, and to be able to be grateful for them to be a part of that and help you grow as much as you're helping them, you know, get the solution that they want for their car and everything. It's actually really, really damn cool.
Yep, for sure, man.
Speaking of classes, we've done a couple, one or two together.
Yeah, we've done a few. We've done a few.
Done some K-Fest classes. We did. I didn't mention this at the beginning because I saved it because I figured we want to talk about it a little bit. We did the Kingpin. Jason's. We did his first inaugural Las Vegas store opening classes for Kingpin University, which give a shout out to Jason on that one. So if you're listening, I'll do this real quick. If you're listening, you want some training, of course, you know, I love Brian and I love Jason both. So I don't pick sides. I love both those guys, but we got to go do the inaugural class with Jason, and he had us come out and help do some trainings and stuff with that, which was awesome. And I can look right above me here in my studio, and I got your signature on the piece I had you guys sign sitting right above me. It's literally right there, brother.
That's awesome, dude. Yeah, dude, that was awesome, man. And like the one thing that I remember, there was a bunch of great takeaways, but like the one thing I remember was working with, you know, similar people, experienced people, and we had that whole assembly line go in, you know.
Oh,
we
yeah, that
with each other,
that like, video of like three router tables right next to each other just freaking running, knocking shit out. That is the coolest thing I have seen in a long goddamn time as far as car audio goes. That was a cool ass fucking video. I wish I had a copy of it. By the way, if anybody's got a copy of that goddamn thing, let me know.
I don't know. Was it Kranitz or Rinaldi? I don't know who had it, but yeah,
I think it was you, me, and McNulty on the table. So I don't sure who was doing the video. I think maybe it was Richard. Maybe he was the one doing the video. I don't know.
Maybe it was.
I don't know. I'll have to check with those guys. But yeah, and Dan jumped in because we're like, he's even got signed this because we're like, screw it, we need some help. You're jumping in. You're going to be instructor now. He's like, oh shit. But you know what? He killed it. He did a great job of it too. Yeah, it all worked out good. And That was a hell of a good time.
Getting to come out and hang
with you. And
man, I was stoked about that. I had a really great time out there.
We'd done some K-Fest classes as well. And yeah, it was a lot of fun. I freaking love it. We need to do some more of those. We need to sit down and come up with a new thing, jump back into some of those if you ever decide you want to do it, because they're always kind of fun to do.
I loved it. Honestly, for me, I don't really speak about it much, but I've dealt with some social anxiety type things. And like for me to do a class and speak in front of an audience, that was kind of a big thing for me to overcome. So yeah, I mean,
yeah,
I enjoyed it. I loved it. I love helping people and I would love the opportunity. So if anybody would be interested, I would be interested as well. So
maybe we could probably piss some people off, but we could do some here in St. Louis.
Oh yeah.
That might be kind of fun.
I'm down. I've been fortunate. I've had a couple opportunities where I've done some trainings for different shops, basic stuff. Like I wasn't doing anything to step on anybody else's toes that does
training. Oh no. And that's the last thing we want to do.
Just kind of get them kind of going a little bit, move them a step forward a little bit, you know.
Yeah.
Basic router stuff and then basic kind of.
Yeah, there's not a whole lot of basic stuff out there. I mean, in my opinion.
Thank you for tuning into the Business Cars and Cigars podcast. Make sure to share this with someone you know that can benefit from this content. Remember to support this show by rating, reviewing, and subscribing.